sit down, boys. Have I got a treat for you?
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the digital soup. We are the digital soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast packing it up and packing it in.
Yep.
Well, let me begin.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Dave knows. He said, let me begin.
Well, I came to win. Battle me. That's a sin, I guess.
I thought you actually did not know what we're talking about there.
I didn't until Dave said that. If you would have started up by like, hey, welcome to Digital Soup. Da, 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 da.
I can't do the Cypress Hill sound. Because their earballs hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, my name is Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. What have you guys been up to this week?
That's a great question.
I know. Great I ask question. It every week. You should always be prepared.
What have you been doing, Adam?
Well, let's see. I've been trying to do a little bit more astrophotography this week.
Ooh.
Getting out, trying to get the Milky Way. Have not gotten super great shots. Experimenting with cloud movement, long exposure with the stars in the background. Kind of cool, but also
nice.
Not quite getting the results I want yet.
It's a lot of trial and error when you're dealing with that.
Indubitably, yeah. My friend.
Well, I was very confused here because I was going to let you know that he is a cartoon dog and it's really hard to take pictures of him.
Rastro.
Yeah.
How about you, Dave? What'd you do this week?
Oh, man, honest to God, it's been action-packed, jam-packed. First, as you know, last week I was pretty sick, still dealing with an illness, right?
Allergies.
It's not allergies, although I do sound, I hope at least I sound better than I did last week.
You do sound better than last week. I mean, I listened back to the show midweek, and I was you know, very disappointed in your performance.
Well, I was amazed I was even here at all. Like I said last week, I missed 3 days of work. Mm-hmm. Out
but
of
were you really missing them, Dave?
Well, I would have honestly rather been at work than going through what I was going through. Massive sinus infection, moved into a massive chest cold, got put on antibiotics for 5 days, got done with those, and 3 days, well, 5 days later, found myself back at the doctor because I had a bit of a health scare. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but let's just say coughing up blood is scary. Especially when you look at what that normally means on the internet before you go to the doctor.
Never internet diagnosed, dude. Never.
Yeah, I know. But look, coughing up blood is pretty well known to be a bad thing typically. Thankfully, after freaking out for like 3-4 days, finally got in. The doctor had an appointment open, got in. Everything's good, but I got another 7 days of antibiotics. A massive sinus infection is just not going away and got into my lungs and all this other stuff, broke blood vessels in my throat, all kinds of fun stuff. So that was going on. I still have about 3 or 4 more days of medication, but I'm feeling much better, starting to get there, I think. So that's a good thing. Also, spent a little time out in the woods. It's that time of year. Adam can relate, I'm sure. Colors.
Okay, hold it a second before you go any farther, though.
Yeah,
I understand what time of year it is and everything, but after everything you just told us,
yeah,
the absolute worst thing you could do is go out in the woods.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yes,
fresh
dampness,
air.
No dampness. No coldness.
Beautiful fresh air. getting that fresh air in your lungs. I've been out not a lot, just a little bit hiking around, exploring since the mosquitoes and ticks are finally gone. I think last week.
I love those bands, by the way.
Yeah, just the past few days, I was able to put on, I don't know, 5-6 miles total. But just enjoying getting outside and kind of, you know, refreshing, recharging, because I'm the type of person I cannot just sit on my couch and do nothing. But
well, sometimes you have. I've noticed you do it once. I mean, I've seen you do it before.
Well, I do, but
when
I don't.
We used to hang out. You just sit there.
Yeah, but that was like years ago before you went and moved away. But while I
so I was the reason you were lazy back then.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
No, but I did watch a few things here recently that I was going to tell you guys about. First, there was a movie. Are you guys fans? Let me ask you this first off. Are you fans of Rebel Wilson as an actress or comedian?
That's fine.
She's fun. She's kind of funny. Yeah. I've seen some funny movies with her.
She can be all right. Sometimes she annoys me because like she's genuinely a very smart, funny comedian, but it annoys me because she goes back to the like easiest low-hanging fruit comedy because she's bigger. So she's always making the kind of, hey, I'm a fat kind of piggy woman. And it's like, don't make those jokes because you're super funny otherwise. You don't need those jokes to be funny. But anyways, I watched a movie with my wife that her and Anne Hathaway did called The Hustle.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
but
not to be confused with the new movie out in theaters with J-Lo called Hustlers. The Hustle is basically Anne Hathaway.
Or the magazine called Hustle.
Right. Yeah, not to be confused with that at all.
The same as the movie?
No. I've been on an Anne Hathaway kick. Let's just put it that way. I've always enjoyed her acting, but this movie, The Hustle, my wife and I watched. It's all right. It's one of those good, like, safe, kind of first date type of movies when...
Dude, I did... Oh, my gosh. I'm such an idiot. I was going to say, yeah, what? I remember... me and my wife did watch that movie.
Yeah, it's decent. It's got some funny parts. Anne Hathaway does a weird accent through the whole thing that's kind of dumb. But they're con artists. Yeah,
can I ask
ahead.
You a question?
Yeah.
Did you nail... okay, that sounds weird. I was going to say, did you nail that guy? I meant, did you nail it that guy was a con artist too?
Yeah.
I kind
of
picked...
I was going to watch it. Now you spoiled it. Sons of...
Well, you won't know what guy.
Yeah. There's lots of guys in the movie.
You can tell because this, I could tell with this guy because he had that kind of look with it, like the way he dressed and his hair and stuff had the gray streaks in it. I mean, it kind of was the classic con man look, but I don't know. It was a perfectly fine movie, you know,
yeah,
not bad.
I thought it was decent.
Yeah,
now,
it
before
wasn't.
Before you go on to your next movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I just have to say, I can't even remember what the name of this movie was, but one of my favorite scenes ever with Rebel Wilson was when she was in the car with this guy and he was changing the channel. He put on the radio and there was a song and she starts singing to it. He changes the channel because he doesn't want her to sing and she starts singing that one. And every basically that's what the whole premise was every time he changed the channel to a new channel, she knew the song and she started singing it.
Which movie was that? I can't familiar.
Remember the name of it, but that was a hilarious scene.
Yeah, this one is the one, Adam, if you remember, you might have seen previews for it where she's like gets chased out of a bar because people caught on to her con game. And the police come running out the back door and it's like this alley, garbage bags and stuff all over. And police go back inside. They don't see her. And then she stands up. She's wearing this black dress that looks like a garbage bag.
Yeah.
It's skin tight, but she bends over like into the pile of garbage bags. So it's like her butt sticking up and it looks like just another garbage bag. And so then she stands up. She's like, oh, little black dress. You did it again. And she gets away from the police and stuff. And it's got some very funny moments. It's got some very predictable moments. But good date movie. The other movie I watched with Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis is, have you seen the movie Colossal?
No.
No.
Now, this one, I think you guys might enjoy, although I'm not sure, because I was talking to friend of the show, Mac, from Shutter Time, and I know he's into like kind of these sci-fi movies and monster movies and stuff, and I thought I'd see what he said, and he said he only got about halfway through it and shut it off. He thought it was boring.
Oh, wow.
Personally, I...
the one where the lady can control the monster?
Yes, yes. Anne Hathaway is a woman that there's a monster that shows up and is like destroying parts of Seoul, South Korea, I'm guessing. Yeah, Korea. And through the story, you find out that she's controlling this monster and all this other stuff. I actually thought it's a little bit of a slower pace. It's, I don't know how to explain it. It without spoiling it, it's well worth a watch, in my opinion. It's not like a big Godzilla movie. And the way they did the monsters was cool. The way they handled the kind of interaction between the two and how she discovers and everything was cool. And, you know, there's these funny recurring moments in the movie where she's basically fresh out of this relationship in a big city with this guy in like New York or something. And they break up. He kicks her out because she's constantly just partying and getting drunk. And she moves back to her hometown in her parents' old house, but there's nothing in it, like no furniture, no nothing. And she keeps getting drunk and she'll pass out on the floor or something, you know, sitting against a wall or on a park bench. And every time she goes to wake up, she's just like in massive pain because her leg's asleep or different things like that. But that the way they handled the monster dynamics, the way it was mm-hmm. shot, very, very cool visually. And it was one of those movies that feels like you're just kind of stepping into like a short story. It's not, I mean, it's a feature length film, but it's not like you're getting this origin story and then the setup into the main events and then a massive.
So it's like you're watching the sequel. Didn't see the original.
Not really. I mean, yeah, because it jumps in. There's this monster that shows up and all this. And, you know, they tell that story. You see that whole thing unfold. And there is a resolution, an absolute conclusion to the story. But what's kind of weird about it is that it doesn't actually go into like how this is happening or why it's happening. It's more of like you jump into this story, this stuff is happening and it concludes and you understand how, you know, it's happening because they explain that, but not why or what caused it or anything like that. But I kind of looked at it on a deeper level, and this will sound probably pretty artsy film schoolish.
It really does.
Yeah, but I looked at it as, you know, she's battling her demons with her alcoholism and her kind of self-destructive behavior, and this monster's coming out of her as kind of a representation of that, and it's kind of a story of her redemption in that sense, so it's kind of cool there. So definitely worth a watch if you're into movies. Colossal was actually, I enjoyed it. Mac, I know he didn't, he shut it off halfway through, said it's boring, so your mileage may vary. But the other thing I've been doing is I actually started writing over, do you guys know what the website Medium is?
Yeah.
Yep. So I started publishing articles over there. I had a few people in the last few months telling me you should really start putting some of your articles over there because you can actually make money, you know, from your writing.
Wait, so they'll let you, so you're like a...
Yeah.
How does that work? I mean...
Well, you sign up...
Freelance kind of, right?
Basically, yeah. You sign up and you write and then they select, you know, everything is there on the site. But they do have a paywall, and we'll talk more about them, because spoiler, they're going to be my app recommendation this week. But, I started writing over there and I put up a big, I was writing mostly like creativity based stuff, republishing articles that were on my website. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to write here, why not just write about the stuff that doesn't fit on my other websites? So I wrote today, actually, as we're recording this, a big, probably 1,500 to 2,000 word kind of long form essay about where have all the B movies gone? You know, we've talked about this before. Growing up as a kid in the 80s, we loved like films.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Or, you know, like Iron Eagle, Bloodsport, all these movies, yeah. Even like The Breakfast Club and kind of how the blockbuster culture took over and what happened to all the B movies. So you can check that out. I'll link that up in the show notes.
Attack
here for
of the Killer
guys.
Tomatoes. Mm. Oh no, wait, that was a blockbuster. Never mind.
Yeah. No, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. But that's the thing. Yeah. Like these B movies just
anymore, really.
Don't, yeah, you don't see those kind of things
not
anymore.
Not in the theater though. If you want to see B movies like that, they are like direct to video type
sometimes,
things.
Sometimes. And I talk about direct to video in there and how it's changed now, because when direct to video is now basically direct to streaming, but then you have films like The Irishman that's coming out on Netflix, which is Pacino and Joe Pesci and De Niro, supposed it's Martin Scorsese. It's a huge film direct to video specifically for Netflix. The Coen brothers just did in the last year, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, another kind of anthology type movie. But there are huge directors doing work for Netflix. So direct to video is kind of taking on a different thing. So it's kind of an interesting piece, I think. I'm biased. I wrote it, but definitely.
It's
definitely,
the best piece I've ever read before.
Definitely. Well, not that I've ever read, but I'm pretty proud of it. You know, it's a long form piece. I mean, a full, you know, like I said, 1,500, 2,000 word essay, basically, which is, you know, kind of what Medium loves. So. So yeah, it's been a productive, busy week. Yeah.
About time you did something the week before you did squat.
Yeah. Well, and Jason, just so you know, normally I would have skipped over most of this. Mm-hmm. But I told Adam just play along because I wanted to see how long you'd let me go with whatever I'm up to.
Oh, I just edit out everything after.
I was going to just start talking about, well, yeah, and then I looked at some geese that were migrating. Well, just start really taking it there, you know. But yeah, you just let me roll.
I recorded another episode of Yesterday's Sci-Fi.
Yes.
I'm sure you did.
That last one was chilling, dude.
Oh, you liked that one. Oh, with that. He listened twice.
Oh man, I did
the first one yet.
Oh man, this last one with just the concept. I don't want to spoil it for people, but it's pretty early on in the story, right? When the main event happens, that the dude gets essentially murdered.
Oh, the dude's in it?
No, the main crux of the story, a guy gets murdered and has his brain pulled out of his body and hooked up to machines. And the rest of the story is like a survival kind of, it's really cool and chilling. And Adam did a fantastic job.
Well, thanks. Thanks for saying that. You don't have to listen to anything in order. They're not connected unless there's a single story that ends up spanning a couple episodes. But at this point, they're all standalone.
Yeah.
You can drop in any episode you want. YesterdaySciFi.com.
Yep.
Plug away.
Absolutely. This week. But
for those that aren't aware, I guess that's my side gig podcast, where it's basically old science fiction stories from turn of the century. Actually, that story was from 1954, so still pretty old, but pretty good stuff. Anyway,
and currently it's his side gig, but he's hoping to actually make that his priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both Adam and Dave, they're slowly trying to get out of Digital Soup.
No, we'll never get out of Digital Soup.
Oh, yeah, they
this
are.
Is like where
we're
we get
done
to,
with the soup.
No, this is where we get to come have fun, hang out with my two best friends every week. It's awesome.
Yes, but you both asked me if you could carve out like 20 minutes an episode to tell a little bit of a story or, talk about creativity.
No, we had talked about it in our chat earlier this week and decided we're going to have every week a couple ad breaks because we are not sponsored. We are, we're paid for by our Patreons. This episode brought to you by Digital Soup Patreons. There's now, what, 3-4 of them out there?
Three, I think. I haven't gone back and looked for a little bit. I haven't got any notification.
But, essentially we don't do ads, but we do have some other awesome things. So we figured why not plug it every week? And, the consensus in the chat was go ahead and do it. We can't help it if you were snoozing at work.
Okay, I'm at work. I'm not snoozing. I'm not like Adam.
Well, when you start... Nice. When
you're
start...
a stay-at-home dad, dude.
Adam, don't you agree, though? When Jason starts his own gaming show that we keep telling him to do, we will let him plug his show as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's never going to happen, unfortunately.
Never. Well,
speaking of gaming.
Yeah.
The Switch Lite also has a Joy-Con drift.
Oh, I love drifting in those games.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what game it is.
Like racing
when it's actually
games?
Mario with fine, jumping that you have to do, drifting's not.
Oh, you're not talking about like drifting and racing.
No. It's drift in all games.
Gotcha.
No, it looks like there's a class action lawsuit against Nintendo for their Switch Lite on their controller.
Yeah, and what the drift is basically it's the analog sticks, even and it was only happening as older Switch units, the original Switch units. It was happening to the older ones, and you could have thought, okay, maybe it's because they are a little bit older, they're starting to get some wear and tear, but they shouldn't still be doing this because all the other analog sticks and all the other consoles don't do it. But what happens is you take your fingers completely off of it and your character will still move in a different direction because it's drifting. The analog stick is recording. The potentiometer inside that analog stick is recording movement that is actually not even being manipulated on the stick.
That's a good word.
So
say that again.
Over this?
There's a class action lawsuit. Now, Nintendo...
Potentiometer.
Yes. Now, Nintendo will replace all of your Joy-Cons for free. You just send it to them. They'll send you new ones, probably refurbished ones. They're not going to send you brand new ones. And that's what's been going on now ever since this has happened. But the class action lawsuit is saying Nintendo lied and Nintendo, you know, put out faulty equipment on purpose and all this kind of stuff knowingly, blah, blah, blah. Hmm. I think that's dumb. But they are doing the right thing by replacing them for you for free. You don't have to, you know, pay to buy new Joy-Cons. But it's got a little interesting this week because the Switch Lite's only been out, it's been about a couple of weeks now, but within the first week, there was already reports of drift on the brand new Switch Lites. Mm. And the issue with this is, as everybody knows, the Joy-Cons are built into the Switch Lite. You cannot right. just take it off and send it off to Nintendo. You would have to send your entire unit.
Yeah.
That's I rarely have any of my light switches turn.
Yeah,
myself.
That's... It's not a light switch to make.
I've actually had my light switches flip down or flip up by themselves, and you know, I believe I have ghosts.
It's happened a couple times, but it's rare.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
You know, scary. When I saw this story, I was thinking, because you remember when we used to play Ark, and I always prefer to play on the controller, so I had that Xbox 360 controller I was using on my Windows machine. And I would run into that all the time there, where stuff would just be going haywire. And we always kind of thought a lot of that was just stupid internet lag for me and everything, which a lot of it was, rightfully so. But I finally went a while back now, and I bought a new, what's the newest Xbox? Xbox One Box X or whatever.
Xbox One X, yes, is latest one.
I bought one of the newest wired controllers, and it removed it. And I was running into problems with that drift on that Xbox, that other Xbox controller, nonstop. I would be trying to play like Witcher 3, and I wouldn't even be touching anything, and my character would be just slowly walking in a direction, or I'd be trying to fight, and it's like you're battling, almost like if you're driving a car and you've got a hard pull to one side or something, you're out mm-hmm. of alignment, you're constantly battling yeah. the opposite direction. It is frustrating to try and play, but...
Are you going
to
sue Microsoft? Class action lawsuit, buddy?
Well, a class action is tough.
You need more than you, and yeah. you don't have any class.
I mean, so, I know I'm big and all, but... No, but it is frustrating, and it's disturbing that it's happening on the brand new Switch Lite also.
Yeah, and here's a little, you know, people think we're crazy, but my wife and I, we always choose what we want to get each other for Christmas, because we, you know, we want what we want. So she tells me what she wants, and I tell her what I want. Well,
that's
I
the holiday Switch spirit. Light.
Exactly. So I wanted a Switch Lite, and we usually order or get our stuff early, you know, so we don't have all those big gift-giving money expenditures all at the same time. So I've actually already ordered my Switch Lite, and I ordered her gift too. But I'm not going to say it because I don't want her to hear, because she listens to every episode.
She does?
No, she doesn't. But so...
Paper funnels for everyone.
Yep. So
she's going to love it.
And Funyuns. I'm worried that mine's going to have that too. So hopefully I don't, but.
Well, you can report on it in 3 short months.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get any games with it?
No, but I did, my 256 gig SD card, micro SD card did come in today for it.
Oh, perfect.
They got sent separately, but everything's going to be digital.
What's the plan? Like game-wise? Like game-wise, what are you picking up?
I think the first, I think I'm going to get Zelda Link's Awakening, the remake of the Game Boy Advance Link, because I played a little bit on the original the original monochrome Game Boy, and it looks amazing. And then I think I'm going to get 3 games Christmas morning, but I don't know which ones I want to get totally. Hmm. Probably Dragon Quest Builders 2, maybe.
Witcher 3?
No.
See,
no.
If I've honestly still been considering getting a Switch Lite, and that's the only reason why, is because I love games like The Witcher 3 and some of these.
I think Skyrim's on Switch too, yep. So you can play some, Skyrim on.
Yeah, and
finally,
right. I've been waiting
for that.
How old
is that game now?
Oh, so good, but yeah, it's old.
But I've been thinking about a Switch for that reason only, and making it just an RPG action RPG machine. Because that's the one problem I have with those games, is that I don't have time to sit down at my computer and play. But with a system like the Switch, I could play it in bed for 20 minutes before bed, or on my lunch
toilet.
Breaks, and you know, yeah, toilet or whatever. I wouldn't bring it to work into the bathroom there, but
well, no.
That's a little
your
excessive.
Your coworkers see you walking into the bathroom with the Switch, like, oh, Dave's going to be wow.
Yeah,
he's got to beat the level before he gets up.
I got one more boss. No, no, but just
he's
for
like,
that,
you ain't got no boss. You're out of here.
No, just for that kind of thing. I especially like Witcher 3, the newest Zelda, Breath of the Wild or whatever, and they have a new one coming too. But those kind of games would be what I think would be fantastic on the Switch, and especially the
Switch.
Well,
I'm thinking about Mario Kart 8 because that game is awesome.
Mario Kart games are great, but I just don't know that I'd play it enough to make it worth buying.
I've been playing that Mario Kart Tour on the on my iPad. It's very weird. You don't even have to control it. Have you guys downloaded it yet?
No.
Literally cannot even touch the screen and your car will drive itself. It doesn't stop when it hits walls, and it doesn't ride the walls. It'll actually sort of center a little bit. It actually kind of drives itself, which is kind of ridiculous.
I lied. I did download it. I hadn't played it because I went to launch it to play, and it said I needed to connect it to my Nintendo account.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have a Nintendo account, and if I do, I don't remember what my login was, so I didn't feel like going to create it just for that, so I deleted it off my phone already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what's nice about the Nintendo account, though, once you create your Nintendo account, all the Nintendo games that are on the mobile, it does cloud saves. You know, as you save it, it automatically saves it to the cloud, so if you have to, you get a new device, or if you had to, like, erase your device for some reason, or you needed to save space, and you want to delete the game for a while and then load it back up later, it's all there. It downloads your saves for you, so it's really nice.
Very cool.
Yep, but the Joy-Con drift, it's now infested, you know, hopefully not majorly, but there are some people that have reported that they do have drift on their new Switch lights, and it has been added to the class action lawsuit. I guess there's the class action lawsuit is something like 12 or 15 people in the same number of states are in this lawsuit. So it's not like, I don't think it's as widespread as, you know, some of the news reports, just because as a lawsuit, you know, they report on it like mad. But I don't think it's probably like a very small fraction of, you know, the players that are actually having the issues. What do you think?
Hopefully probably, it's not many.
I hope so.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm excited to have it. I mean, Nintendo has some great games, and I enjoyed my 2DS XL a lot. So it's going to be nice to have a new portable that can actually play the actual console games. And that's something that's really cool. Right?
Yeah, whatever. Sorry, I was typing it.
I know, yeah. I was watching you guys.
Sorry about that. But yeah, that would be very cool.
Adam has just changed my show note link from my Medium article. Instead of "Where have all the B movies gone?" It now says "Where have all the boob movies gone?" That's my next article. I haven't written that one yet.
The answer, they're not gone. So rumor has it that the new Zen 3 processors by AMD will have 4 threads per core instead of the standard 2. What?
Good Lord, that's a lot of threads. Cores.
Oh, threads.
Threads. Still the same amount of cores, more threads.
Well, yeah.
Now, this is amazing. This story broke late last week. And right now, it's just a rumor. That people have seen some tech sheets, have seen some patents pending, etc. There's been no official announcement from AMD, but the gist of this whole story is AMD is now doubling the amount of threads each core can have. So instead of every core having 2 threads, now it can have 4 threads. And, you know, like I put in the show notes here, I said, finally, Adam's dual core processor could have 8 threads.
Finally.
Hey, I want to ask a probably completely obvious question, but just for my own clarification. Yes. This Zen 3 architecture you're talking about, these processors, that has nothing to do with the Asus like ZenBooks laptop series, does
no,
it?
No. Okay. AMD does not make the ZenBooks. The ZenBooks is
that's
from
Asus.
Asus. Oh, yeah, you just said that.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was something tied in with their, if they were, you know, kind of a partnership or cooperation working together. Because I know for years I've really wanted one of those high-end ZenBooks. They look amazing.
Yeah, and it's actually Zen is just short for Ryzen. These are the Ryzen chipsets.
Oh, that's the same thing then?
Yeah.
They just call, you know, they just call them the Zen 3, but it's the Ryzen 3.
Gotcha.
World War Zen.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of my title, though? You like that? It's pretty funny. 2 threads per core. Hold my beer, said Zen 3. you get it?
Why is it Zen 3 if it's going to have 4?
Damn it! It's only a 3 cores per thread. Hey. I mean, core. Three threads per core.
I'm still confused.
Dual core.
Yeah, so Adam, Mr. Tech Guru here, Mr. I'm 1/3 of the Digital Suit podcast. I have been in system securities and all kinds of stuff for so many years. I'm a programmer. I do all this kind of cool stuff with tech, and I'm running a dual core, 2-thread
hey man,
processor.
The only time it really suffers is when I go to have to use the multi-threading, which is
photo
editing with most games don't
video editing.
Photo editing, video editing is
actually Adam. There is a lot of games now that use 4 cores.
Well, that's why I have an Xbox One.
Yes, but do you have the Xbox Next? Is that what they're calling it? I can't even remember.
No, I don't have that because it doesn't exist yet.
Well, he does.
The next box, is that what they're calling it?
Next box? I can't even remember what they're calling it.
No, I was asking.
I actually don't know what their code name is. I think it's just called Xbox Next or the Next Xbox. Something really stupid.
Just wait for about wait for about 3 generations into that one. Given their Xbox One X naming scheme, it'll be the Xbox Next Box One X Box.
Wait, by Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It is straight. I think Microsoft
socks
is
on Xbox One. Xbox yeah, One,
my Fox has socks.
And then Sony, of course, then they'll be releasing their PlayStation 7. Yeah. They just go with the standard numbers.
Yep,
easier.
It is. It, actually, overall, I mean, take a look at the different consoles out there. Now, Nintendo had their Nintendo Entertainment System, their Super Nintendo Entertainment System, their Nintendo 64. No, remember the
64?
Yep, the Nintendo 64. The code name was Ultra 64, remember? Back when it was first, talking about, that's what all the magazines referred to as the Ultra 64. So you're not far off there, Adam. And then there was the GameCube. And, of course, then the worst naming scheme ever for consoles, the Wii and the Wii U.
What did Wii stand for? Was it an acronym something?
Yeah, it was Japanese for, like, us or unity or
okay.
Something like that is how it was explained.
It makes sense given how much of a family system they wanted it to make it into.
It's just there's too many Wii jokes that were made about it because it was a stupid name.
The one that I thought was like the Wii didn't bother me, but the Wii U.
Yeah,
I just picture like some hillbilly farmer like Wii U.
Well, usually it's Wii.
Yeah, Suey. No,
Every console, I mean, every company has had different names for their consoles. You know, Sega.
Yeah.
You can go through all of those, the Master System, the Genesis, the Saturn,
can we stop right there for a second? Because really, when you think about it, has there ever been a cooler name for a system than the Master System? I mean, yes. Really, think about it. This is the PlayStation Master System. I don't care what system it is. This is the Apple Watch Master System. You know, you add a title like that, that's pretty ballsy. Like, it's bold.
Well, the Master System in Japan was called the Mark III. So what do you think is better, Master System or Mark III?
I do like that Mark number designation, although Canon cameras use that a lot. You know, it's the Canon 5DX Mark II, you know, things like that.
That's probably
why
they couldn't bring that name to the U.S.
Yeah, but, so Canon cameras use that a lot, and Iron Man uses that a lot, too. Yeah. Because all of his suits are the Mark III, Mark 47, and Marky Mark. Those are the best suits.
Marky Mark?
Yeah. Those suits give me good vibrations.
Come on.
No, we're not going to do all their songs, okay, guys? Why do you think Sony would... With their PlayStation line, they've only done the numbers. Bow, bow,
bow, bow, because they're they're smart. Bow, bow,
bow. But, I mean, that's the only system they've done that with, because their portable line, there was the PSP,
which
the
was
PSP
PlayStation,
Go, the PS Vita. I mean, they did give all of their portables different names.
Yeah,
but
their portable line
their
is kind of dumb.
Their home consoles, they didn't.
Their portable line, I get the PSP, PlayStation Portable. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. PSP Go is ridiculous. It's the PlayStation Portable Go.
Well, and the whole thing with the Go was there was no media. It was the one where you had to actually download everything.
Right. And in the
and
Vita.
And then the PS Vita, which was actually a really good system.
I assume never had Vita it, stands for Go in some language. Or portable.
Sounds like it's more like Vita is, well, in Spanish, it's life.
Life? So PlayStation
Vita
Portable Life.
T, I don't know.
Vita. Hey, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Do you got a Vita?
Or Vita. Because
I want it back.
The PSP Vita. Vitamin.
Invite me over.
What?
It's me.
That, well, and when you look at...
It's not the you. It's me, a Mario.
You look at the portable consoles. That's
is that what he said to Peach when he was breaking up with her? It's not to you. It's a me,
it's
Peach.
A me.
No, the portables even for Nintendo. Because what did you have? The Game Boy and then Game Boy Color. Game Boy what? Advance?
Pocket.
Oh, Game Boy Pocket.
Yeah, before there was the Game Boy. Okay, so there was the original Game Boy. There was the Game Boy Color. Game Boy Pocket, which was also color. The Game Boy Micro, which was a small... I mean, that was a little teeny screen on that sucker. Then it jumped up to the Game Boy Advance. Before that, it was the Game Boy SP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the SP.
Which was like their one of their clamshell ones. And then the Game Boy Advance.
And then Advance had a sequel to it that was like Advance something, I thought. Maybe not.
No, I don't think so.
I might be thinking of the SP there. And then they got into the DS.
Yeah. So
what does DS stand for?
They never said, but most people speculated dual screen.
Oh.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Not the Nintendo DS standing for dog sh.
What? Hey, the DS was pretty cool back in the day. And yeah. I do have to say okay. Well, if we're going to keep going, then there was the 3DS, which was actually a huge jump up. And then there was the 3DS XL, which had the larger screens.
Well, and there's also
there was
the 2DS.
The 2DS. And the 2DS, which was not a clamshell one. And then they re-released a 2DS XL, which was a clamshell one.
Hmm. What did Microsoft ever have any handheld systems other than just the Xbox line? Which obviously wasn't handheld.
Yeah, no handhelds that I know. No.
Cool.
Don't know.
We could do a whole show on handhelds. There's been so many.
And we could title it, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
And speaking of holding hands, I am so glad that Marvel's going to be holding Sony's hand for the next iteration of Spider-Man, because if they went on their own, the crap fest that probably would have turned out to be.
Yeah. Well,
I'm so happy that we're going to actually get a proper Spider-Man.
Well, here's the interesting... Well, I can't say much. Adam, you still haven't seen Far From Home, have you?
Yeah, I have seen it.
You did? So we've all seen Far From Home, the latest Spider-Man.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, the way that ended with him getting outed.
Oh, yeah.
Now think about this.
Watch the credits, right, Adam?
Yep.
They're going to do one more, and I suppose we just spoiled it for some people. Apologies if you hadn't seen it, but... The way they ended it, they said that what they've agreed to is one more Spider-Man film, and he's going to appear in one Avengers movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this next Spider-Man film looks to be coming out July of 2022, I believe, is kind of the idea so far. Or, excuse me, July 2021. Given the ending of Far From Home and the fact they've only agreed to do one more film in that, with Tom Holland in that universe... What are the odds that they're going to find a way between that film and the Avengers film to kill off Spider-Man and essentially bring in some other character so they have a way to write him out of that universe properly?
Well, do you think with bringing in all these female superheroes and stuff, do you think they might kill him off and have what's-her-name become Spider-Woman?
It won't matter if they want to do like Spider-Gwen. Any of the Spider-Man characters are all the same by Sony. So yeah, they can't use any of those characters unless another deal is made, basically. Now, well, there is rumor that Disney is looking to just outright purchase all of the Spider-Man properties back.
And they should.
That would be awesome.
I bet you Sony would charge them a hefty fee, though, to do that.
Yeah, but
not that Marvel doesn't have the money to do it.
That's what I was going to say. They've got the deep pockets to make it work. Because there's talk, too, that with these next films, there's a potential for them to bring the whole Spider-Verse into the MCU, which includes Venom, the Sinister Six, Madame Web, all of these storylines, even talks that they want Spider-Man in his next quote-unquote Avengers film. Might not be Avengers. He might be tied in to the Fantastic Four because they had some dealings in the comics. Ultimately, if Disney can buy back the Spider-Man characters and properties that they own, that's the best case scenario. Because if they can't, and this is just kind of a short-term two-film stopgap for Spider-Man, I think we're going to see Spider-Man killed off properly in the MCU so that at least they have a logical conclusion to that character and how big of a role that they were building him up for.
Or, especially after what happened in the last Avengers movie, do you think there could be something to do with, you know, going into time, creating alternate timelines, and all of a sudden the MCU is in a timeline where Spider-Man never existed, and that's how they explain.
Well, essentially killing him off. That'd be a way to do it.
I think it starts to get a little bit complicated.
Yeah, but it does. All time stuff does. It's very, you know, convoluted and just confusing.
What was the movie? One of you looked this up real quick while I'm telling you about this.
I can't
think of it.
Around.
Kevin Feige, though, from Marvel, who's been in charge of the MCU, there was news that came out that he is going to be at the helm of, I think it was Star Wars going forward, but I can't remember. It was a big property like that. A total shift from the MCU, really? Though.
Yeah, Marvel's Kevin Feige developing Star Wars movie for Disney.
Yeah, so
5 days ago that popped up.
So keep in mind, we've got the last Star Wars movie in the original 9 movies that they're saying is going to wrap everything up. Rise of the Skywalker, right? That comes in December. And at that point, going forward, they're saying Star Wars movies going forward may be that universe, but not the Skywalker stories and, you know, the stories we're used to, the characters. If he's at the helm of doing something new, I'd have to trust what they're going to do because he's been brilliant with the MCU.
Now, when it comes to Star Wars movies, okay, we've talked about a saturation before with Marvel movies, superhero movies in general. And I haven't reached that point yet because I'm enjoying the heck out of everyone that comes out. Star Wars movies, I'm like 3 behind because I reached a point where I just wasn't interested in any more Star Wars movies. I think if they would give us, and I know they're not going to be able to make as much money doing this, etc., but I think it'll build more fan excitement if they waited at least 3 years in between films.
I think it will be. Because when you look at what they're doing, we've got this next one coming out in December, and the only other things you're seeing plans for are like The Mandalorian. You know, some of the Disney Plus like television series type shows. And I think they could ride on those stories for a little bit with the streaming and more television approach.
Is that like the Doc Brown car?
What's that? The Mandalorian. It's for guys
only. He becomes
only.
The car.
I never thought about how similar sounding. It's like a totally sexist car just for men.
Mandalorian, huh?
Speaking of that, I can't remember the name of this YouTuber is, but he's a good singer. He does a lot of music, comedy music, skits and stuff, but he does all kinds of skits. Well, he did this one called Racist Radio Racist Radio or Racist Car, and just look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. Just the gist of it real fast, you know, because you guys are all going to want to go see it. But different nationalities, like they're like 20-somethings. And, you know, a Hispanic guy gets into it, and all of a sudden the car starts playing, you know, Hispanic music. Black guy gets in, some hardcore rap starts playing. And, of course, everybody's like, oh, what? I get in the car and you get to start playing that music? That's not me. It's the car. I'm not doing nothing. Okay. But just check it out. It is pretty hilarious. And I wish I could plug him here because I can't even remember what his name is, but his whole channel's hilarious. He's got some really funny superhero stuff where they're just like dumb superheroes. But anyways, back to what we were talking about, The Mandalorian, yes.
Yeah, no, I think though Star Wars, I think we are going to see a break in the movies for a little while, a couple of years at least, while they develop something. Especially if he's going to step in and essentially develop a whole new, I hate saying a whole new universe in terms of Star Wars, no pun intended, but a whole new cast of characters and characters that we're supposed to care about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if they're going to do that, they're going to need some time to plan and write and put together their vision. But he's proven himself to be one of the, you know, most brilliant minds in building a universe for a franchise. So have to see what happens.
Interesting, yeah.
Speaking of universe, there's a new universe that was just formed. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
I don't know what to feel about it right now because I'm like Adam. Just kind of tired of the whole thing. But the Walking Dead universe, that's an official name now. They have another spinoff coming, but it's officially they have the Walking Dead universe. And they're hoping to expand it with a lot more stuff. You know, they have the movies, they have the television shows, they have, you know, books, etc., novels written. And, you know, when that news popped up, I'm like, yeah, Fear the Walking Dead sucks. you know, and I'm a hardcore Walking Dead fan, but I haven't even finished the season yet, and that is very unusual for me because Walking Dead Prime, I watch every episode right away. And for the first like two seasons of Fear, I did. Now this third one, which I was way off, they've fully announced it now, and they announced the title, and I can't remember what the title was, but this has taken place 10 years into the apocalypse. They're just jumping right ahead, and what it is, it's a coming-of-age tale, and I'm not even joking, that's what they said. It's a coming of age of the children that were born in the apocalypse as they start to reach, you know, older, and they can actually it might be 20 years into the apocalypse now that I think about it. But
could be interesting, like, I guess.
I don't.
If there's just so much fatigue, the series has been going for so long. Yeah. It's like, oh, here's another story arc. They'll find somebody.
Well, if it was good, if they were all good, it wouldn't matter. Well, Fear is really, and they're talking, they are doing a sixth season, but I mean, people are speculating that's the last season because there's no way this Walking Dead Prime at its prime, if you want to say, it was doing over 15 million viewers, you know, for every episode during its. The whole Negan thing kind of people dropped off, and I think they're about 8 to 10 now, but it was like 15 million for quite a while there. The last episode of Walking Dead that I watched, and I listened to all the podcasts and stuff, and I look at the numbers, I think it was at 1.3 million, which is a lot. I mean, a lot of shows never even hit that, but for a Walking Dead one, you know, and there's they're not cheap to make. There's a lot of money, especially the special effects and stuff, and only having 1.3, it's pretty bad.
Well, you know something, I when it comes to the Walking Dead universe, is there ever going to come a point in time where they just decide, okay, you know, so this one's going 20 years in the future. At some point in time, either the zombies have to just die out, most of them from starvation, essentially, or humankind...
decomposing.
Well, both, yeah. But,
and that's what we see now, is yeah, that, you know, they're decomposing.
Or mankind, whatever's left, eventually just gets killed off and kills each other off. So at some point, if the zombie outbreak itself essentially dies, no pun intended, but it you know, decomposes and falls away at some point in the future, all we're left with then is just civilization trying to rebuild.
False. And I'm going to forgive you here, Dave, because you never got past a few episodes into the first season. This is not your standard zombie outbreak. You do not have to get bit. Everybody has already infected. every single person, when they die, becomes a zombie. Doesn't matter how they die, from a heart attack, whatever. So there's always brand new zombies every day.
Right, but ultimately ultimately everybody's going to die. And ultimately,
well, you know,
then,
we're like rabbits. We're breeding like mad.
Yeah, but what about then new babies? new babies also infected?
You know what I thought? You know, I thought would have been cool.
Yeah.
All babies are too. Everybody. It's something that got into. They've never explained it, and Robert Kirkman said he'll never explain it. It's just that's the way it is. Everybody's infected, and everybody that's born is infected. It's just what it happened.
I think that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, I think that's a.
You'd like an origin, wouldn't you?
Well,
and I would too.
I don't even care about an origin. I want there's got to be an endpoint to a story.
Yeah.
And he's given an endpoint for his story, but you know,
he's done.
Yeah,
he did bring it to an end, and I need to read it and find out how he ended the whole thing. But here's the coolest zombie death ever that I wish they would do, but they'll probably never do it. I want a baby to die inside the mother and it eat its way out because it's a zombie.
Alien? No.
Seriously, dude, it eats its Terrible. Way out of its stomach, man. How
gross.
Exactly.
It's an old story trope, just not zombies. That's what aliens do with the chest bursters.
Yeah.
No.
But this is your child killing you from inside.
Here's a thing for you, though, a story. You know, I've talked about before, one of my favorite authors is Terry Brooks, and he's the architect of the Shannara series. Okay. Now, he had, I forget how many books, 9, 12 books, something like that. And then he took a departure. He's like fantasy, magic, elves, things like that in the world of Shannara, druids and all of this. And he did a departure and he did a trilogy of books that was about modern day times, but where kind of in the style of like Dean Koontz, you know, kind of horror thriller type things where demon, you know, is about demons coming. And a kid had some kind of powers and they were trying to resist the demons. Well, what he ended up doing is he jumped back to the Shannara world and tied everything together where we find out that brief foray into the Dean Koontz style kind of light horror, you know, horror thriller genre was actually giving you the original origin story. Everything that's in the Shannara series is all set here on Earth. And it's a story where essentially mankind as we know it right now, demons attacked and killed off everything, but through the magic of the Shannara bloodline, they were able to basically preserve a valley on the Earth, and they got survivors in there. And then years and years, I mean, we're talking centuries later, these things have passed on. The magic around that valley fails. And the rest of the world that was outside that bubble has now turned anyone that was outside there. They're now things like dwarves, they're elves and, you know, terrible creatures, monsters, things like that. There's dark magic, there's good magic, all this stuff. And he was able to take this story of, you know, a three cycle thing, much like the zombies, and turn that into basically a story of an apocalypse of the world, and then move that into this beautiful fantasy world that he created. Walking Dead, not saying they have to go into the fantasy genre, but there needs to be some kind of
something
resolution.
Else, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hey.
Agreed.
I do not know how Mr. Dave has not told us about this. And I actually just heard about this today, and I totally forgot about it until you started talking about the Shannara Chronicles.
Yep.
Do you know what started production this month?
Wheel of Time TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why did you not bring this up for the show, man?
Because it's been talked about on and off for years.
But it just started production. It's a real thing right now.
I know it is.
It's not fake anymore.
They've had, I believe, in the past, movies start and writers hired. I'll believe it when I see it. If it comes out and they do it well and it turns into a... It has to be a series like a Game of Thrones type. This book series is, I think, 13 or 15 massive novels long. I mean, each one of them 1,000 pages or more. Big, epic fantasy, amazing stories. If they're going to do it, they have to do it right, and they have to do it in a very long-running series. I hope they don't do what they did with The Dark Tower, where they say, oh, this is just an iteration of the Wheel of Time. It's not the actual Wheel of Time story.
No, it's the actual Wheel of Time story.
That's everything I've heard. This first series is going to be basically the first half of book one.
Can I put you at ease here a little bit too?
Yeah.
You do know where this is homed at, right?
Homed? What do you mean?
Yeah. You do know who is producing this and where it's going to be showing?
No.
HBO.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes. So they're doing to Wheel of Time what they did for Game of Thrones. So you know they're going to do a great job.
That
so
will I be take awesome. It
Wheel of Time is good.
Oh, yeah. Game of Thrones is very violent, very brutal, nudity, all that stuff. You know, everyone knows about that. Wheel of Time is going to have a lot of awesome battles, a lot of very cool sword play, magic, all of this kind of stuff. But it's definitely not at the level of Game of Thrones. It's not going to be just shock and gore and violence, you know. I don't think, in fact, I know 100% sure there are no incestuous relationships.
No pushing kids out of windows?
Nope. There are some kids that, well, your main characters are all teenagers when they start, basically. And so that's when things kick off. But if they can do it well and they stick with it, I am excited about it, but I haven't talked about it. I've been following it for about 2 years. They've been talking about this, and I haven't said much because I'm at that point where I'm going to wait and see because I love Adam, the book so much.
Adam.
Yeah.
This is going to be right up your wheelhouse. Yeah. Well, you're going to like it.
Well, speaking of epic adventures, we should take another moment, as we talked about yesterday's sci-fi earlier, to also remind you guys that this week's episode is brought to you in part by the Adventures in Creativity podcast.
And Snacky
Smalls. No, most of you know what Adventures in Creativity is. We've talked about it before. But I do want to say, this episode, as you're listening to this, the episode that just came out here this week might be one of my best. I'm the most excited about it. It's my very first episode where I've kind of dove in and given some really actionable strategies to help you determine original ideas and self-originality and some things there with your creativity. So if you're a creative and you're looking for some great conversations around the world of creativity, check out Adventures in Creativity. It's at AICpod.com, and you'll find me there every week.
Hey, well, nice. But what if they're not creative, but they'd really like to become creative? Could they give it a listen?
Absolutely. We welcome all new adventurers over at Adventures in Creativity. Base camp is always open.
Curiosity.
No, creativity. AIC.
Oh, speaking of, my second episode of my podcast, Adventures in Curiosity, will be coming out soon, too.
What if that is what Jason names his?
That would be awesome.
Well, it would have to be Crackers doing it. You know? It could be Jason.
Yikes. Sign me up now.
By the way, that the racist radio station is Randy Mancuso.
Okay. Link it up in the show
Rudy,
notes.
Not Randy. Oh, my gosh. Rudy. Already did it. It's in cast. You can
It up in the show notes for listeners, I'm saying.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
What do you guys say we hit a couple app recommendations real quick before getting to the beginning of our brand new special geek off?
All right.
I say yes.
Digital Soup app recommendations.
All right. So I have a great recommendation for you. Now, we are heading into the television viewing season. Now, fall every year is where all of our favorite shows come back for another season, or some brand new shows are coming out that, you know, we want to make sure we don't forget about. So my recommendation is an app for both Android and iOS. It's called Next Episode. It's a app that I use, and what's really nice about this, you put all the shows in that you are interested in, and you will get a notification on your phone or tablet, etc. It'll say, you know, in the morning, it'll say, these are your shows that are coming up tonight. So you can plan accordingly. Now, I know you're saying, hey, everybody has a DVR. Why do you even need to do this? Just set it. Well, it does other things too. It will also, based on, you know, what you're adding into there, it'll recommend other shows for you, which is pretty cool. Hmm. And it links up to your Tracked account. And I know we've talked about Tracked before, but that's a service where You can track everything that you view, etc. And it's all linked up in there. So no matter what device, what program you have, you can log into that account and it brings all your information in. But I'm just talking specifically about Next Episode right now. And it's pretty cool, especially if you know, you want to make sure you don't miss that great episode, or maybe you're out and about and you want to tell somebody about, hey, you got to check out this episode, but I can't remember what the title of it was. Pull up your Next Episode on your phone or tablet and let them know what the name of the title is, because everything's there, titles, release dates, and a synopsis of the episodes and everybody that's in it. So that's my recommendation, and Next Episode.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Double nice.
Double nices.
Adam, did you have an app?
You know, I don't have one listed in here, but I do have one for the musicians that want to have a nice tuner available that uses your mic.
And I love mine on toast.
It's called Tuner Light by Piascore, P-I-A-S-C-O-R-E. So this, it's kind of your run-of-the-mill tuner application, but I've had it for several years. I just don't know why I've never mentioned this one, but you just turn it on. You can either play a tone through it so you can tune your instrument by ear, or else if you just say... if you click the button that just says tune, then you can just, it'll just listen using the mic and it'll give you, it'll tell you how in tune you are or aren't and let you tune your strings.
Well, question here for you. So you've used this for a couple of years now and you've never broke down and bought Tuner Pro?
Well, nope.
Why? What are the benefits? What do you get with Tuner Pro?
Tuner Pro. Well, I think you get no ads.
Well, maybe. That's worth it right there. I hate ads. Especially ads for other podcasts.
I've never had a problem with it. I use it. I rarely use it. You know, it's like you tune and then you close the app.
Right.
Boom. Done.
Addy.
Yep.
Very cool. I got you all linked up in the show notes there, Adam.
Yay.
Look at how fast he is.
Yeah. So nice for me, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to recommend the Medium app. Now, they are a web-based...
Based on the television show, right?
No. They are a web-based application as well, medium.com. Their app, though, is very, very good. Now, the one thing I will tell you...
I'm writing for large.
Yeah. Medium, you have to... Well, you don't have to. On the app, though, you do need to become a member. You get 3 free articles a month because they do pay their writers. For people basically liking their articles, things like that. So it's $5 a month. If you want to sign up for the fully unlocked, you can read as much as you want of anything you want. It is available on iOS and Android, but you're going to find some really well-written long-form articles on just about literally any topic you can think of, whether you're into movies, music, gaming, creativity, self-help, business, productivity, writing, even sexual health and those kind of self-improvement type of articles. They've got some really, really good people that write for them. And I'm pretty pumped to be able to start sharing articles there myself. But not that I'm a great writer, but Medium, the app itself, if you're looking for really, really good content that's very well curated, this is one of my go-to places where I love going all the time, because the articles you find there are always... very well written, and it's well worth the $5 a month because it's some of the best content you're going to find on the internet.
That's $60 nice. A year. You can get a game for that for the Xbox One X and Xbox X One Next.
Next box.
How much box could you put X?
If your an Xbox socks? Could box X?
How much box could you fit into your socks if the Xbox Next box one?
How much box can you fit in your socks?
I guess
you know,
so.
We should come up with an official name like that, you know, a crazy name, and then do a parody commercial for it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Oh, speaking of parodies, you guys know the YouTube channel Hot Ones?
No.
It's the one where they interview celebrities and while they're eating, like, super hot wings.
Oh, Hot Wings.
Yeah. I think it's called Hot. Is it? I thought it was called
Hot Ones.
I thought it was Hot Ones, but anyways, just today as we're recording this, a little bit of a riff started because Kevin Smith shared out a video that he did, and he said, well, since we got a response, he wanted to get on the Hot Ones show to promote the new movie, Jane Silent Bob Reboot, and got a reply back initially that said they weren't interested. And so he decided with him and Jason Mewes that they'd make their own show parody of Hot Ones called Not Ones, or something like that. Not Things, whatever it is. But they did this parody. I don't have it in front of me, but the parody they did is actually really pretty hilarious. But it did stir up a little controversy because a lot of people, Kevin Smith has a huge following, so a lot of people were messaging the guy that has that YouTube channel and saying, hey, why aren't you letting him on the show, everything else? And he tried to explain his way out of it. Seemed like a pretty weak excuse, but in the end, the parody was actually pretty darn funny if you want to look that up.
Awesome. What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
All right, Dave, let's get this going, man. Let's pick our first fight.
All right, so we're bringing back the super fights brackets. We're going to have 8 total characters, but we're going to do one bracket each week, which means we need 2 fighters today. Adam, you've got the cards ready?
I've got the cards. You can actually hear them right here. So I'm going to pick randomly.
That sounded first. An awful lot like flatulence.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And once again.
You need to wipe, Adam.
Check your undies.
Okay.
Brought to you by Me Undies.
Okay. The first one.
Yeah.
The first fighter is literally insane clown posse.
Oh, dang. Hey, Dave, write these down or somebody write them
down. I am.
I'll keep the cards out here. But the second fighter is, my boss. That's not going to work for 3 of us. Okay.
No.
Second fighter is an eagle.
Okay, I got Insane Clown Posse. I just got to say, I got it.
Well,
I gotta take them.
Oh, you don't know.
We don't have
it. I don't want to be a freaking eagle.
We don't have the rest.
I don't want to be Wentz.
So if you remember, we have to choose 2.
Dave, you get that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Adam doesn't.
I was busy trying to play the game. So they each get 2 powers,
yep,
or not powers.
Yep.
So, yes.
First,
2 abilities.
Randomly picking from the pile. The literally insane clown posse's first ability is they are tweens.
They're like 13 or whatever. Is that what a tween is?
Something like that.
They're like the 13-year-old real insane.
Tweens are like 20. 12 and 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
11, 12. 13. Yeah. Okay.
And then the next thing is that they they are agoraphobic.
What does that mean again? They're afraid of the dark?
They don't like to leave the house.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Really powerful. They're tweens that are agoraphobic.
Dude, but don't come in their house, man. Yeah, they'll F you up.
We might want to check that just to be sure, but if I'm not mistaken, agoraphobic means that you are afraid of leaving your house. Like
anxiety, yep. You avoid places or situations that might cause you to panic, feel trapped.
Yep.
Yep.
You don't like crowded places.
Anxiety.
All right. Yep. So an eagle.
Okay. The eagle's first card. Let's see. Top half is blank. Play another character card from hand. Oh, boy.
Oh, you have to get rid of the eagle now?
So the eagle, the top half of the eagle is a velociraptor.
Oh, snap. It's a flying velociraptor. Are the wings on the top or the bottom?
Wings would be towards the top.
Okay, so the velociraptor doesn't have wings.
All right, and then the second ability of the eagle is that it throws fireballs.
Dude.
Oh, I think that your tween agoraphobic clown posse isn't going to hold up too well here. But
all right.
It's going to be Jason. I'm going to give you the literally insane clown posse, I think, because you were really excited about that. Dave, you get the eagle whose top half is a velociraptor that can throw fireballs.
Okay.
If that works.
That works. Or do we want to just all of us kind of debate out, throw out scenarios?
Ooh.
That'd be a little twist from last time.
How would that work?
How are we going to? One person has to be the tiebreaker, though.
Yep. So here's what we're going to do. Come up with an idea of an attack for how the literally insane clown posse would win. Give me your arguments.
Well, being a juggalo myself and Adam being a juggalette,
nope.
You do understand that they are part of the Dark Carnival. Unless, are we talking about when you say literally? Are they literally some crazy clowns?
Yep. Yes.
So they're not the music group with all the
correct
their fans they're, behind them like and their mythology.
And his cousins were all around.
Right.
It's a, okay. It's so a none of the mythology of their songs.
Nope.
I can use as a battle.
Nothing to do with the actual band.
So they're literally some crazy clowns.
Yep.
Well, you know what? They're not going to come out of their house, but these guys are crazy. So anybody,
they're going to talk bad about the eagle on the internet.
anybody that enters that house is in for a world of hurt and horror. Ooh. Because around every corner is literally the things of your childhood nightmares.
Yeah.
These guys, literally these guys will eat your leg and then beat you with the bones until you're dead.
Okay.
I'd like to know, just out of curiosity, what is the nightmare of an eagle child?
I didn't say of an eagle child. I said of children.
Okay.
Hey. Well, the nightmare of an eagle child is to
not have
the support of its father, the bald eagle.
Quick question for you.
Yes.
This eagle, we determined, does not have wings, so it cannot fly, right?
Well, no, we said it has wings.
Oh, no, the top half is a velociraptor, and you said the wings were on the top.
That's what I thought you said.
Oh, yeah. I just pictured a velociraptor with wings.
Hmm. Well, so did I until you shot it down.
Okay.
Just so I don't know now.
So no,
the wings are still on the top.
Okay. So here's what I think.
Not an eagle.
Here's what I think. The agoraphobic part means that they want to stay in positions where they're comfortable. They don't feel trapped or uncomfortable. Now, this presents a problem because clowns, as we know, love to jam-pack themselves into these tiny little cars.
Oh, so there's a lot of them.
Yes, and being that they're tweens, they can fit a ton of them, and they're all insane. So you've probably got like 30 tween crazy clowns in this little car driving around. What they're going to do is they're going to come cruising around. They'll wait for that eagle velociraptor to land somewhere in front of them. Because you know he's not going to just rain fire randomly from the sky. He's going to stop, got to make a production. Velociraptors,
strategy, right?
Yeah, velociraptors like to kind of hunt their prey. So they're gonna be trying to
peacock
hunt,
is what you're saying.
Essentially,
Velosa Eagle's got to make a production. You know those things.
It does.
Classic bald.
They're so
eagle.
Uppity.
They've got to hunt their prey. So they're gonna be flying around, seeing this little tiny car, thinking it's the equivalent of like a squirrel or something. They're gonna take from way up. Only it's a little bigger, obviously. So they're gonna stalk this prey. They're gonna land and they're gonna try and. Capture this, cook this thing right there. What they don't know is that this little car is going to turn around and first ram into that eagle velociraptor. It won't kill it. The velociraptor will slightly fly away, everything else be a little stunned. Meanwhile, out of that car, there's going to be just one after another never-ending stream of these crazy clowns that are just, as much as it's going to try throwing fireballs, a lot of them are going to die. These clowns are crazy, and they also all love to dive into these tiny little buckets of water. I've seen it in the circus. So they've all got buckets of water.
Don't they throw buckets of confetti?
They try and put out that fire and everything else, but through a comedy of errors, somehow that car is going to explode. It's going to throw the door, let's say the passenger door, in the wrong direction and basically decapitate our Velosa Eagle. And a Velosa Eagle with maybe only 3 or 4 of our clown posse left.
So, Dave, you were supposed to represent the eagle.
Well, we were all ganging up.
Oh, yeah, that's my argument for how the fight would go.
But well, Dave,
I see.
That's an amusing story, but that cannot happen.
I know.
And here is the reason why. As those hundreds of tween insane clowns start piling out of that car,
mm-hmm.
their agoraphobia kicks in and they are afraid of their own posse.
Mm.
So now they are running in all directions from their own group.
But the chaos could help them.
But this eagle is just sitting back and laughing and picking them off one by one with its fire coming out of its mouth.
Could be. But it says it throws fireballs. Does that mean like
it doesn't
its hands?
Have hands?
Like little tiny velociraptor.
Well, it's got wings. Unless it has velociraptor hands and wings.
There's a few problems with everything.
Yeah.
And you think?
Settle it
a velociraptor eagle?
Yeah, settle it for us here.
According to Eurogamer.net, when they're talking about Red Dead Redemption, and this is going somewhere, a posse has about 7 people.
Ooh.
And so that severely limits the amount of these agoraphobic tweens. But okay. Even saying that, they already lost. They hate public transportation. They also hate crowds. So there's 7 of them. They're already crowded. Because if 3's company and 4 is a crowd or whatever it was, they're
2's company.
In a crowd. 2's company, 3's a crowd.
3's company is the name of a TV 3's show.
They're going to be panicked. They're going to have disorder. Now, they do have some advantages because a posse, by definition, typically is law enforcement and is armed. So I just don't think that they have a lot of practice because they hate to go out. And I don't think they'd go out and get in a car. They're just going to be sitting at home.
Well, so, technically a car is not public transportation, so I think they might be good in their own personal car.
That's true, but
car.
They don't really want to. Okay, all right, I'll give you that one. But in my version of Veloci Eagle, it can still fly.
Veloci Eagle, I love
and
it.
And it can throw fireballs. And how does it throw them? Probably from its Velociraptor face. Like, I think of Mario. It just, you see a fireball coming, they're going to burn down the house, they're going to burn down the car, but they're going to be airborne.
But like Mario, you do have enough time to duck or jump over it.
Yeah, they've got plenty of their Velociraptor smarts and the eagle eyes to catch anything going on. I mean, meanwhile, the agoraphobic, whose some of their traits of panic attacks include rapid heart rates, excessive sweating, and diarrhea. That's probably what's happening.
That's a weapon right there. That diarrhea will put out any
it is
flame.
A weapon. I cast the Imodium charm.
The Imodium charm.
You know, the leader, violent Clay, who is the leader of the insane clowns here. He does direct all of them to bend over and de-trouser and fire their cannons.
Terrible. But, yeah, I mean...
Terrible.
The agoraphobia, it's going to give them a panic disorder. I mean, they're gonna think they're losing control. They're going to think they're having a heart attack. They're just not going to be able to defend themselves or fight. But at the same time, they are insane. Mm.
Yeah, so they don't take any of that into consideration.
So then how do they even know that they're to their agoraphobic? Advantage.
They're so conflicted. Yep, they might just self-destruct, like mental breakdown.
You know what's gonna happen? They're gonna see an eagle with a velociraptor head. They're like, "That's it.
I knew
didn't
it.
Think I was that crazy."
Yeah.
Yes.
We're nuts.
But also think that you're forgetting the one aspect that they are tweens, so they don't fear anything and they think they're invincible.
Well, I don't know. I know a lot of 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds that if they saw an eagle with a top half of a velociraptor breathing fire would probably be crapping themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, but the ones that you know aren't insane.
That's true.
But even
that's
if they
true.
Even if they corner this thing, that's when the Veloci Eagle that you didn't even know it comes in from the side.
Yeah, because they always hunt in packs.
But there's only one eagle.
Yep.
We did not determine that there's more than one.
Yeah.
Well,
Velociraptors do hunt in packs, but there's only one.
Here's the thing that we also didn't consider. It could be just a grammar kind of technicality here. We have an eagle with a top half of a velociraptor that throws fireballs. What if it's just an eagle that's clutching the top half of a velociraptor in its claws? And that velociraptor is basically just belching fireballs everywhere because the eagle killed it and ripped its body in half.
Well, and I think we're forgetting the most important part here is that if this was indeed a bald eagle,
yes,
they'll just destroy the literally insane clown posse with freedom.
True.
Well, or the government will arrest them for killing the eagle. No,
oh,
but
oh, yeah, you can't even have an eagle feather. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, the super fights police. Yeah, super fights police stick them in jail.
They just can't be in America, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, what we are forgetting, though, is these are literally insane clowns posse. They all have hatchets. So they do have weapons.
Well, what if
they are actually...
What if they're armed with things like nooses and pitchforks and torches and pitchforks? That's what a posse has.
But not the insane clowns.
Well, yeah,
they'd probably.
Well, think about what would clowns have as a weapon? Droopy flowers that spray water.
a little fake camera that squirts in the face.
Yep.
A red balloon that freaks you out.
Yeah, a fire hose that sprays confetti. I mean, these guys are insane. They might think it's an actual, you know, hatchet or something like that, but it's probably just a droopy squirting flower.
And then they're running around and they're all going like, I wibble wobble bumble boo. I'm no, violent.
These Jay are not that insane clown. These are crazy clowns. He wants them to be.
All right, gentlemen, who is your vote for here?
Jason, you first.
Oh, geez. Literally, I mean, if somebody did come up against a eagle velociraptor, I would have to go with the eagle velociraptor, even though I am a big fan of the literal, not the literal, but the actual insane clown posse. I know this is literally insane clowns in a posse. Being that they are tweens and they're agoraphobic, I don't think that they'll be able to work in unison to accomplish any type of goal against this eagle velociraptor. So I think I'm going to go with the eagle velociraptor.
Okay. Yes. All right, Dave.
I even though I tried to make an argument the best I could for this clown posse, I've got to give it to the Veloci Eagle Raptor, whatever it's called.
I like Veloci Eagle Raptor.
Yeah, Veloci Eagle, whatever it is. I've got to give it to that. I just don't think there's any way it can stand up. You know, these tween agoraphobic tween clowns are. I don't care how crazy they are, they're just going to get devoured and barbecued by this thing.
Here's the crazy thing, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An eagle is technically a raptor.
Very true.
Oh,
it's a beautiful thing.
So
we got double raptor.
I am also going to go with the eagle raptor.
Okay, let me throw one last question at you, which I think will be a fun twist this battle for all of our things. We know the champion last time was our little rascals in a trench coat with a... What was it? A magnetic powers and a trident or something like that?
Yep.
We don't have to go into the battle, just quick gut reaction. Does this Velociraptor Eagle, as it moves on to round number two, does it have a chance to take out those little rascals?
It might. It doesn't consist of any metal.
And it can attack from a distance with fire.
Mm-hmm. And it's got those eagle eyes. Mm-hmm.
So we could have a challenger.
Yep. And it's got a height to its advantage, too.
True.
Flying.
Next week, we're going to draw two more. And that'll be the first half of the bracket. So,
and I do want to throw this out to all of our listeners. Please get back to us via any of our social media. What do you guys think? Out of these two, we want to know what you guys think. How would you battle these two? And who do you think would come out victorious?
Let us know.
And I'm not talking about the Disney show that my kids love.
Nice. Well, that was a really, really good battle.
I enjoyed it. I'm so glad I talked to you guys into coming back to it.
Yeah, it was a great matchup to kick off the
This was an awesome one.
And with that, it's time to put the lid on the soup. So be sure to listen and subscribe to us over at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, anywhere where you can listen to podcasts. And of course, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com to find out anything and everything about our show, see our articles. And of course, follow us on Twitter with our new handle, Digital Soup Cast. And if you like what you hear, head on over to our Patreon page, which we'll have linked up, and leave us a tip if you'd like. And of course, we'd have something for you as well if you do that. We'd really appreciate that. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you listeners, have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time. We'll see who wins those next battles.
Take care, guys.
Later, Gators.
It's the Digital Soup Podcast.